Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5. The game on this Tuesday as the Titans get ready for joint practices with the Tampa Bay Bucks. We decided we'd talk a little Titans with our man Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and he joins us now. Gentry, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I've got a football movie for you.
Okay.
An underrated football movie that has not been mentioned yet, North Dallas 40.
We got a couple of texts on that one, and I just haven't brought it up yet. That is a good one, though.
That might be the most underrated sports regular movie of all time. That is a legendary movie because it actually showed, Gentry, you know this, the ugly side of professional football.
I call it a game. You call it a business. You call it a bit. Yeah, it was a great movie.
That is a very good one. So the Titans are getting ready. They'll have one more practice here, and then they'll do a joint practice on Thursday with Tampa, and then play the preseason game coming up on Saturday. As you have watched Cam Ward through these first few weeks of training camp, I think we can all agree that, you know, there's been some flashes, but he has looked very much like a rookie and has struggled at times. What is it you think he needs to work on the most in these joint practices in a preseason game against Tampa?
Yeah, and no question. He certainly has looked like a rookie. There's been some good moments, but I think it's decision-making. It's just kind of feeling comfortable with what he's seeing. I think it would be that way for pretty much anybody coming into the situation he's in right now where, you know, I think his head's probably swimming a little bit. I think the Titans have thrown a lot at him in terms of just the looks he's seeing defensively. I think that's been a deliberate thing to try to, you know, allow him to see a lot of different things so he can try to get comfortable and honestly to know how to handle adversity a little bit. That said, it needs to start getting a little better. And I think the joint practices are going to be big for that. Just seeing another defense and being able to adjust on the fly to some of the things that he just quite honestly hasn't been able to yet.
Gentry Estes is with us. Do you feel like, and I asked Tim Hasselbeck this question earlier, but I want to get your opinion since you've been there every day. Do you think that Brian Callahan is going to be judged solely on the development of Cam Ward this year, or do wins and losses matter more to Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker?
I mean, I think Cam Ward's a big part of it. I think he'll be judged on, are they improving and are they able – is this a team that can stop beating itself? If you go back and look at that team last season, I know that the talent wasn't on par with some of the best teams in the AFC. I think we all know that. It's going to be the case again this year. But if you look at how the Titans lost, the way they lost last year, there were so many moments where they started to get something going and the right tackle has a false start or a hold or somebody doesn't line up right. They couldn't allow themselves to get any momentum, and that's a poorly coached team. There's just no other way to say that when you don't look like you're prepared to win, and you don't look like that you expect to win. And it seemed that got worse over the course of last season. And I think when you see a team that cannot get out of its own way, that's the surest sign to me that the coach would be in trouble. If that stops. If Cam Ward improves over the course of the season, if they feel better about things in week 15 maybe than they did in week 5, I think that'll speak a lot better for Brian Callahan than anything else. But they've got to stop beating themselves. They were just a poorly coached team last year. I mean, and it was the same thing. Special teams breakdown, stupid penalties, bad turnovers in key moments. These are things you can't do. And I know there's been a real focus on that this offseason, but we'll see.
Talking to Gentry Estes from the Tennessee on the Chase and Big Joe show. Gentry, do me a favor. Go over to Mike Organ's desk and take a dump, if you don't mind.
Wow.
And just blame it on the custodial staff and get out of there. That's your assignment for today. No, Gentry, no, we love Mike Organ. Hey, sorry.
Jeez.
So, you know, I love the article. I love the article you wrote after the day I asked Borgonzi and Brinker about can this team win the Super Bowl. And your article was great because you're basically like Titans fans kind of prepare for the worst. And I thought that's a great article to sum up just the road this football team's got, Gentry, to get back to some sort of relevancy. And it's It's a long road, an uphill road they got to go, you know, and we're not expecting them to win the Super Bowl. That's why I asked the question. But this team's got so many holes, man, and it's tough. You're out there seeing what's going on over there. What chance you got for this team, even winning, I think, six games would be Callahan's coach of the year?
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's something to that. The best chance they've got is for Cam Ward to turn into Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's the best chance they got, for him to put this team on his back, and he makes a difference. Because the quarterback, if he's good enough, can do that. But I feel as though, yeah, I mean, obviously, I the difference between the Titans this year and the Titans last year is I think they've accepted what you just said, Joe. I think they realize where they're at, and they're honest about it. They realize the challenges ahead, and they're not trying to tell fans what they want to hear. And I really felt like the previous regime was pretty bad about that. You know, we checked every box, things like that. You know, they were really bad about trying to speak excellence into existence that just wasn't going to happen. And I feel like there's a lot more pragmatic approach over there. They're realistic about where they're at right now, which is nice. I appreciate that. I think it's something, in order, you know, before you can fix a problem, you got to admit that you have one, right?
Right.
So I appreciate that approach from Brinker and Borgonzi, but that doesn't mean the season's going to be any easier to watch, guys.
Oh, you're exactly right. Gentry asked us with us from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's the worst team you've ever covered?
Oh, that's a good one. Are we saying worst team? Those Titans last year were up there. Now,
that's what I was going to say.
I've spent most of my career in the SEC, guys. So maybe the worst season I think I've ever been a part of. I covered the first 3 years of Nick Saban at Alabama. I was a beat writer in Tuscaloosa. And that first year, everyone forgets, they lost to Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a pretty ugly season. You guys have seen enough of Nick Saban to know that he probably wasn't in real good spirits losing the kind of games they lost that year. There were a lot of guys getting run off every week. It seemed like something else was going wrong. That was a pretty rough year. That one jumps out to me. But in terms of just bad, I don't know, last year's Titans were pretty bad.
They were, right.
They could run at them.
I'm kind of with Gentry. That might be the answer. Gentry Estes is with us from the Tennessean. A lot has been made about Jeffrey Simmons and the weight he's lost. And, you know, I know he's talked about chirping and everything in camp and some about that. But I have been impressed with him. He looks really good. Do you think he's poised to take that step forward that the Titans really need him to take?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think we expect a lot of Jeffrey Simmons, guys, around here. We really do. We expected last year to him to be the big leader, the face of the team, the leader, and you know, he just wasn't that. But he is a heck of a football player. And if you go back and really watch last season, he's still a heck of a football player. He is by far the best player on this team. And I do, from everything I've seen, I'll echo in a lot of the other, you know, kind of reports from camp that he looks like he's in great shape. He's in the backfield every other play. You know, the chirping, the other stuff, it is what it is. But he's a very good football player, and he's a very good football player on a team that needs him. And I think he will be a difference maker for the Titans. Now, in terms of the double teams and all that, I know it's an excuse, right? And no one wants to hear that. And I get that.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you really go watch, it's true. And he needs somebody else. One thing I've noticed in camp, he has been he talks a lot with Arden Key, and he seems to be demanding a lot of Arden Key. And I think it's because there's an understanding there that, you know, there are several key guys on that defensive front that are really if they really step up, it's really going to help Jeffrey Simmons. And I think Jeff is being more of a leader among that group than maybe he was previously for that reason.
If you had to make a vote, and obviously this can change, but for the strongest position group on the team right now, what would it be?
Running back with safety as a surprise inclusion.
Okay.
I still say running back because I think Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are both legit NFL running backs, and they've got a and you know, the defensive front, if Devondre Sweat takes another step here in his second year, I mean, D tackle's pretty strong. But I've been kind of impressed with the safeties, more so than I expected I would be. I think Xavier Woods was a good addition, and I think Kevin Winston could be a player. He has stood out to me already, and you're talking about a guy who's coming off a knee and is still learning what he's doing out there, and he plays awfully fast for somebody with those kind of limitations. I've been really impressed with him so far. It's the kind of thing where the Titans are trying to look for ways to get Winston on the field. You're already seeing him kind of do it, moving him around a little bit. And it's nice to see the Titans in a situation where they've actually got a guy that they're having to look to try to get on the field because of the depth they have, as opposed to, man, we're going to throw this guy out there and hope he's been better, that he can be better than he's been, because that sure is the case with maybe some other guys.
Gentry, Chase and I love to play the hypothetical on this show because we're not really that talented, so we throw hypotheticals out there. We have ESPN on in the studio, and a moment ago they mentioned, they said, can you mention the Broncos and Super Bowl in the same breath? And they discussed the Broncos. What would it mean, Gentry, if opening game they go out there and beat Denver?
It'd mean I'd be real surprised. They'd mean that.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you, I spent some time this summer kind of going back through the Broncos, and that, I mean, they're legit, but they're legit in a way that could cause the Titans an awful lot of trouble. Defensive front, you know, you're talking about a rookie. They do a lot of things defensively. They bring a lot of pressures. It's going to confuse. It's the exact kind of thing Cam Ward is struggling with in practice right now. And then offensively, I think Bo Nix is everything that the Titans hoped Will Levis would be and wasn't.
That's a good point.
Who was able to make plays and be a composed, good, productive rookie quarterback without making a lot of mistakes. I think Sean Payton deserves a lot of credit for that. I think the Broncos have one of the best coaches in the league. So I'd be shocked, guys, if the Titans went out there and won that game. I mean, shocked.
Well,
I feel like this is not a good opener for them.
Well, we go back to when Ken Wisenhut was here in 2014. They went on the road and beat Kansas, a pretty decent Kansas City team, pre-Mahomes, and beat them. And everybody was excited, and they proceeded to have a terrible year. 2015, they did the same thing. They beat Tampa and Jameis Winston. So, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, what happens after that? But I just think if they go out there and beat Denver – we all drew a 180 on this football team and that coaching staff at that moment, because we think the possible can happen, but who knows? I mean,
well, they probably should have won the game in Chicago to start last season. And think how this entire ride could have been different had the Titans win that game. Levis doesn't throw the little flip six, and they're able to win that one, maybe beat the Jets next week's totally different year.
Yep, you're right.
That is a huge what if. I mean, it's very, very true. Gentry, are you going to Tampa?
Tampa, no. Atlanta, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean and joining us here on the program. I think that is it. We like playing the what if game. I think that is a fantastic what if. What if the Titans beat Chicago last year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cam Ward's the quarterback.
The Bears didn't score off the touchdown, right? Because they ran a punt back.
No.
They had a pick six.
I don't think so. I mean, they played a terrible game.
They did.
And the Titans were just like, you know what? Here you go. We don't want this.
Did that flip six cost Will Levis tens of millions of dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh.
I think there's a lot. I mean, you think about it. Like, nobody wants to say, well, it's just one game. It probably tanked the season. It tanked Levis. I mean, everybody lost faith in Will Levis right there.
All right.
Including, I think Will Levis lost faith in Will Levis after that game. It probably got Rand Carthon fired in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they win that game, who knows what the rest of it looks like. But, like, they were chasing their tail the rest of the season.
Right. And the Jets, that first half, Aaron Rodgers was done.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there. They just come off that game on Monday night.
Why'd you have to bring this up?
In San Francisco, they were done. They were tired. They were out of it. And then, you know, Levis just couldn't do it and had to roll the ball to Tajay Spears, and then things happen, and that went on. That is the immediate what if of what would happen had they won those two games. Because in third game, didn't Green Bay roll in here with Malik Willis? Was that the third game of the year? I think it was.
Yep.
And then you're 0-3, and things from that moment on were never going to be the same.
Let's continue this. This is an interesting discussion. Of kind of looking back. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday. Appreciate Gentry Estes for joining us here on the program. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.